Hey, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. And the title of my message tonight, The Perils of Coming Out of Retirement. The Perils of Coming Out of Retirement. Oh, yes. I read surveys recently made of how many senior citizens have continued to work or have gone back to work after the traditional retirement age. And many folks who are senior citizens, they fully expect to work part-time or full-time at least until they're 80 years of age. And you probably know of folks who have retired and maybe 2 years later, their health has just completely deteriorated and they just did not stay around very long. But I'm just excited about being at the work of the ministry. Of course, I never stopped serving the Lord. And then, one day back in November, I was reading in the book of Exodus and I came across this well-known story of Moses before the burning bush. And I realized that actually this was a story of Moses coming out of his retirement. It was a coming out of retirement story. Here was Moses on the backside of the desert, been there for 40 years, just watching some sheep. And of course, you know, that, of course, obviously would take something. But, you know, by and large, Moses thought that his career, that his life, that his usefulness, his big opportunity, his big chance in life was over. And you know, the first 40 years of his life was spent in Egypt, in the courts of Pharaoh, as Pharaoh's son, having anything and everything in the world that he possibly could, and then having to flee, go to the land of Midian, and being there for the next 40 years, and basically I'm sure that he thought that that was just what he was going to do from then on. But then the Lord came along, and the Lord called him, and as a result, he found some perils of coming out of retirement. Let's read there in Exodus chapter 3 and in verse number 1. Notice what God's word says. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt thus say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. A well-known story of a life and of an event that happened in the life of Moses. And yet I have to tell you, folks, that every time I read this passage, I hate to have to admit this, but I feel kind of dumb. I feel kind of dumb in understanding it. Because Moses says, just who is this that I should say has sent me? And what is your name? And of course, what is the response? I am that I am. And I can just imagine myself just standing there, somebody saying that to me, I am that I am. And I would say, okay, all right, and you think about it, folks, any other context, I mean, it just would not make any sense at all, would it? Matter of fact, frankly, it would sound ludicrous to hear that from any other place. I mean, let's say that we had a visitor here, and we were to introduce ourselves to that visitor someday, and hello there, my name is Jim Belcher, and what's your name? And just imagine the response if they would say, I am that I am. Uh-huh, right, okay, and yet here's the thing about it, folks. It's very clear. It's very obvious that it is a big deal. Here. No doubt about that. I mean, the message here, the import of it is just absolutely enormous. I mean, everything about this passage communicates and just says, take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for you are standing on holy ground. And frankly, any other time you find a reference made to this passage anywhere else in the Word of God, it is very clear then too, just by those contexts, that what you are reading and what you're seeing is just very, very important. And so most of us, we behold this scene and we think about it, and all we can think of is, duh, I don't get it. I don't get it. Just what is this all about? And most of us are clueless about it. There are a lot of life lessons. A lot of life lessons that we can get from this passage of Scripture. Here Moses is on the backside of the desert. At this point, as I've already said, he is 80 years of age. 80 years of age at this point. And this is something to amen about. You are never too old to start serving the Lord. Amen. That's just true. It's just the case. We might think that we're all done for and we're all used up and we're all spent and we're just not good for anything anymore. And yet, folks, the fact of the matter is when the call of God comes our way, it can just transform us from just a weak, worn out vessel to a vessel that is just full of life and full of enthusiasm and full of desire and commitment, and that is we're going to serve the Lord. And so, what a lesson for us that whatever our age, it is not too late to serve God. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. As a matter of fact, I kind of challenge you to find in the Word of God where it talks about retirement. I don't really find any place in the Bible where it talks about retirement. Now, I know I'm on the bad side of a bunch of folks already, just in saying that. But I don't really find it in the Bible where it says that we're now to stop working. Obviously, you come to the place in life where, your energy, is gone and you're, you don't have as much energy as what you used to have, and sometimes physical problems come along that are obviously going to make a difference in our lives. But what a lesson, though, that here's somebody 80 years of age, that God can come along and call and commission to do the greatest work that they've ever done in their life. And you know, what God does order, He pays for. And you know, whatever God wants, whatever it is that God needs, He will provide what it is that is going to be needed. Amen? He always does that. If the Lord is needing someone with great strength of some kind, you know what the Lord will do, don't you? He will provide that strength. If what He is requiring, what He is needing, is someone with great patience, and that is the work, the need, is going to require great patience, well, you know what the Lord is going to do? He is going to give that ability to have that patience. What a lesson for us to remember that with God, all things are possible, and that with the Lord's help, we can do those things. And you know, there's so many other things that I see in this passage of Scripture that will help us tonight. And another thing that I see in this passage that is a blessing to me is how that our Lord, our God, is the God of second chances. Oh, I tell you, second chances. You know, and here's the thing about it. We might think that we have blown it to such an extent. We might think that we just have failed, and our failure has just, we have crashed and burned, and that's all there is to it. And yet, folks, with the second chance that God brings our way, it could lead to the greatest opportunity. It can lead us to the greatest success for the Lord than what we could have had even with that first one that we let slip, that we let go by. We just don't know. We just don't know. That's why it's important for us just to continue to trust the Lord and depend upon Him. Oh, I could just hear it now, couldn't you? I can just hear it now, those gossip columnists in Egypt of a long time ago. Oh, I'm sure that after a few years, maybe somebody would say something about a person. And, oh, that reminds me of Moses. Do you remember Moses? Oh, yes, I remember Moses. And what a shame. What a shame. He had so much going for him. Why, he had the world at his fingertips. And you think about how, what a waste it was. You remember what it was that he did? I mean, he killed and ended up being banished from Egypt and had to flee Egypt over the death of a Hebrew slave. What a waste. What a waste. And yet the Word of God says that's not how the Lord sees it. Matter of fact, a well-known passage of Scripture we find in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. And look what the Scripture says. It says, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew that that was not his real calling in life. He knew that that was not what God's end purpose for him was. And it says then in verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then in verse number 26, and catch this, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? It means, folks, simply this, that Moses had his eyes on the prize. And that is, he had a vision of the reward. He saw what it was that would be there for him. He saw what it was that God wanted in the end. He saw that which was at the end of the road, which was at the end of trail, which was at the end of life. That part was far greater than what it was that he could gain on his own through being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, than what he could ever gain by that. And oh, if we would only learn that lesson. If we would only realize that and remember what it is that is ahead of us, what God has waiting for us, what God has in store for us. You know, I tell you, the Word of God, you know, every once in a while I run into some folks that said, oh, you know what, I'm serving the Lord and I'm not really interested in the rewards. No, I'm just going to do right now. And you know, the fact of the matter is, folks, we do respond to reward. We do respond to those things that have been promised that will be bestowed upon us. And fact is that Jesus makes it a point to talk about the rewards that are there before us. And I think those rewards are going to be significant. I think that those things are going to really matter to us as we approach that day, as we come to that place in our life, in our relationship with the Lord Himself. Now, you know, you might be tempted to see yourself as a loser. You might be tempted to think that. But you know something? Instead of seeing yourself as a loser, you can see yourself. You can see what God has for you. And you can see the result of being a winner for God. Let the Lord make up the difference in your life and in mine. Oh, because, folks, I can tell you this. The Lord has made all the difference in my life. All the difference in my life. You know, I think I mentioned at another time that, you know, these months that I have been in sabbatical or whatever you want to call it and so on, that I had to do a lot of soul searching myself. I had to do a lot of looking in my own heart about things. And I've often thought about, now, Lord, you know, I'm still young and I want to be busy and I want to keep serving you and I want to do things and I want, but I can't help but tell you, folks, that I have been thinking more and more about this. But you know what? One of these days, though, it is going to be over and I am going to be done. And as I look back over my life, I think about the things that really mattered, the things that that really counted for me. And you know, folks, I can say this, that after the years that I've been preaching the gospel, that I've been serving the Lord, it still burns just as brightly in my heart, the desire to do all I can do to get the message of God out. Because, you know, that's what as far as I'm concerned, that's what my whole being is about. That's what my whole life is about. That's just what I am about totally. Get the word out. Get the message out. Get the message out. Get the message out. Get the message. Tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And you know, I just leave the results up to the Lord. And so when we get over on the other shore, we can look back and we can see how God is used. You know, Susan and I, when we were there at the state fair there in Florida and the Florida State Fair, and we met this lady that she talked about 25 years ago. And the thing about it is, Susan mentioned that she said, who was it that led you to the Lord? And she mentioned the name of the sweet lady that led her to the Lord Jesus. And we knew her. We knew her immediately. She'd been in our home. She's visited in our home. And she's with the Lord now. But 25 years ago, and she said, you know, when I got saved and I started going to church, and then my husband, he started going to church, and then he got saved. And she said, I just cannot say enough about these workers here at the booths at the fair and talking to people about Jesus. It just made so much difference in my life. And you can just see the enthusiasm in her heart about what God has done. Oh, I tell you, so many lessons here from the book of Exodus. But I want to talk about just a couple of things. And that is the story of Exodus. My first point, the first point of this story is that the call of Moses is a study of God's call to service. The call of Moses is a study of God's call to service. What a privilege, folks, we have. What a privilege we have that God Himself, the God of all creation, the God, the sovereign God of the universe, would say, I want to use you. 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 And God wants to use me. That God Himself would step into my life and say, you and you and you and you and you, I want to use to get a call. You know what? Let's face it. Doesn't it matter? Doesn't it matter everything about who it is that is calling you and how you respond to that call? Doesn't that make a difference? You know, I got a phone call this morning, very urgent phone call. I didn't realize how urgent it was. Hello, this is your credit card company. And I thought, uh-oh. you know. And I said, there's nothing wrong with your account. You know the way it is. You know, there's nothing wrong with your account. You know, we just wanted you to know. I said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. Goodbye. You know, I'm sorry. Maybe you think I'm too abrupt, you know. But they came on me kind of abrupt, too, you know. And you know, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, if it's a robocall or whatever it is that they call, you know, whatever it is they call them. You know, I frankly do not spend very much time with those things. And that's because, first of all, I know that those people, and I appreciate the fact that they got a job and they're wanting to make a living. I appreciate that. I appreciate that that's a hard job. It's not easy. I don't think I could do that, frankly. And I know, too, that the success of their job is they got to get all the no's out of the way and find the yeses. Okay? That's how they make their money. They get the no's out of the way and find the yeses. Well, you know what? I am a no. That's all there is to it. I am a no. I am not interested. I don't want another credit card. I don't want another this. I don't want another that. I don't want this. I don't want this interest rate. I don't want that, you know. I am a no. And so as soon as the sooner I can get out of their way, they can get on their way of finding a yes. Okay? And so that's why I get off the phone just as soon as I can. But listen, let's face it, though. It makes a big difference, though, who it is that is calling. But, you know, think about it again. Think about it. That who is it that is calling us? It is the Lord Himself. The great God and the Savior. The one who created the universe. The one who sustains and keeps everything throughout the universe. The Lord in all of His majesty. God Himself, who would actually stoop down and offer to you and offer to me that wonderful privilege of serving Him. I don't know about you, but that excites me as I think about that and I dwell on that and I meditate on it, that God Himself is calling. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. And as we study the life of Moses, and we don't have near enough time to be able to adequately cover this, we see an awful lot about the kind of person it is that God calls. We see the kind of person that God calls. What is the kind of person that God calls? Well, we see him there in chapter 3 in the first three verses. The kind of person that God calls. Oh, remember, Moses had been the prince of Egypt. 40 years ago, that had happened. And you know, as Moses talks about this and relates this later on, you know that 40 years after, while he was on the backside of the desert, you know, all he says is kept his father's sheep. Kept his father's sheep. That's all there is to it. But the kind of person that God calls was the kind of person that Moses was. What was Moses? Well, first of all, here he was just a shepherd. He was just a shepherd. And you know, there's something about a shepherd. For somebody to really be a good shepherd, they have to have the heart of a shepherd. You know, in other portions of the Word of God, it talks about the hireling. that really doesn't care about the sheep, that really only cares about themselves. And at the first sign of danger and a real problem, they're not going to stick around. They're not going to stick their neck out. They're not going to really put themselves in a place of danger or some sort of a threat. No, they're just let whatever happened to the sheep. It's not their sheep. They don't have the heart of a shepherd. That's why they're not a shepherd. They're just a hireling. But it does say something about the kind of person that is a good shepherd. And of course, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself too, is the good shepherd. And you know, a person, one that is a good shepherd and is able to shepherd sheep also has a heart in which they can shepherd people. Because, you know, to be a good shepherd, you have to have some basic characteristics. There are some things that just have to be true that all shepherds will do. You see, a shepherd has to be tough and tender. A good shepherd has to be hard and compassionate. A good shepherd has to be disciplined and have a soft side. And so when God looks for a leader, it's not so much the profession that He's looking for as it is the kind of heart that is there. And the kind of heart that God is looking for to lead others and to help others and to reach others and to do a job for Him and to be faithful in the work that God calls them to has to be tough, yes, and tender. Hard and compassionate, disciplined and soft. Let's look at some verses of Scripture about this. If you have them back there, fellas. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse number 15. We see one of those descriptions of the kind of heart that God calls. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the kind of person that God can use. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and in verse number 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which will feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse number 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. And then another scripture, which we find there in John chapter 21 and verse number 17. In that great passage of scripture, after Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he approaches Simon Peter, and in that passage of in verse number 17, and he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. See, folks, God's looking for the heart. God's looking for the heart that is willing, a heart that will be obedient, a heart that will trust the Lord, a heart that will stand firm and true and yet shows love and compassion. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, the Word of God says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And then finally, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 2, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Folks, from what we see here in Exodus, Moses was a hard-working fellow. He was an industrious fellow. He was a fellow that was willing to be on the far side of the desert, far away from everything else, in the place of the most risk and the least of comfort and the least of having the things that would be the soft side of life. But he was over there serving the Lord, being faithful in serving the Lord. And so, yes, this is the story of the call of God. But it's also something else. And that is, it is also who it is that calls us. Who it is that calls us. And with this, I go back to my first thoughts in connection with verse number 14. He says, I am that I am. And obviously, this answer, this word, would mean much more to Moses than probably what it does to us tonight. Because you see, right from the very beginning, God has been revealing Himself through His names to His people. And that's because obviously there is so much about the Lord. There is so much to know about the Lord. There is so much to understand about the Lord. There is so much that is to be revealed about the Lord. And over a period of history, over a period of time, 16 different names connected with Jehovah, God gives to His people over the years. In Hebrews chapter 1, as a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. Look what the Scripture says. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. It says, at sundry times, in other words, not all at one time, but various times throughout their history, and in divers manners and in different ways, God has revealed Himself to them. And here in Exodus chapter 3 and in verse 14, God gives that name that He has already given to them, just the name of Jehovah, Jehovah I Am. And you know, folks, it just simply means to say, I am the one who exists all on my own. I am the one who does exist, who alone exists, and can never cease to exist. I am the one who is eternal. I am the one who is perfect. I am the one who is absolute. I am the one who has no cause, has no beginning. And I have been forever. I dare say most of us tonight, our understanding of this is lost, and our generic understanding of so much. But the more we learn, and the more that we experience of the God who has saved us and indwells us, the more we will be like Him and be unto Him, unto His image itself. Oh, who is it that calls us? It is God. Tonight, has the Lord called you? Are you listening for God? Are you looking for the Lord to speak? Does it matter in your life, Christian, who it is that wants you to serve Him? Who it is that calls you? Who it is that extends the invitation to come and to live for Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed.